I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
It's the Round Ball Rock Podcast. Starring Dave Schilling, Alexi Schmid, Milos Teodosic, Joey Devine, Jan Vaselli, Sergio Rodriguez, John Keane, Nando DiColo, Juan Carlos Navarro, special guest Eve Sturgis, Patreon Andrew Keane, thank you Andrew, Eric Gunderson, thank you Eric, Justin Soa, thank you Justin, musical guest Captain Beefheart and his magic band, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with a permanent co-host, a comedian, writer, WarriorsWorld.com. That's not, it's not that's, Warriors World. It's Golden just, State of Mind.
I kept telling people it was Warriors World weeks in.
GoldenStateOfMind.com contributor. America's Uncle Dad, Sean Keane. Sean, how are you?
I'm good. I'm gonna have my first piece in a little while. It's schedule related.
Piece of what?
Like a piece on Golden State.
Oh,
for article.
Yeah, yeah.
Article.
Gotcha,
I'm sorry.
Gotcha.
Piece of ace.
Like, piece of pie. Yeah.
Finally, a piece of the rock. It's a lot of people are writing about the best matchups in the NBA schedule. I am writing about the most likely schedule losses of the NBA season. Very exciting. Mark your calendars. Mm-hmm. The commenters are going to hate it. Okay. How are you, Joey?
I'm A-okay, dude. I finished Heat 2. Pretty sad about that because I'm loving every fucking second.
I am in the midst of a phenomenal book that I'm not sure I'll finish before my library loan ends, but I don't want to spoil it because I think it's going to be the next round book rock when we finally finish the Tiger Woods book. But it is about a certain senator who takes his penis out a lot and calls it jumbo to intimidate people.
That's well, your I'll tell you right now, look, I know Robert Caro's, you know, manifesto about LBJ is supposedly like one of the great works of American literature. But trust me when I tell you, it's no Heat 2, baby. I'm going to use my time here to plug Heat 2. Go buy Heat 2. What's going on, Sean?
Can I ask a quick question about Heat 2?
Yeah, for sure, dog.
It seems like most of the characters from Heat 1 are deceased. Is that correct?
Well, it's in part a sequel to Heat. Okay. But it's also in parts a prequel to Heat.
Sean. Oh, okay. Then
it's kind of like if Michael Mann wrote The Godfather Part 2, kind of.
Well, yeah, but except a better movie because it's Heat.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. So like a large chunk is Val Kilmer on the run, right? Because he's basically the only one who lived, except Al Pacino and John Voight. Their characters, of course, Detective Hannah and Nate. And also
Nate. Who could forget Nate?
And also don't forget the man in the wheelchair who invented the internet in Heat.
Yeah.
He's also in it quite
a
bit.
Oh good. Al Gore is his
So a third of the story is that are those guys post Heat. And then two thirds of the story is that. And then a third of the story is a previous
Wangrow's family.
He does introduce a new Wangrow, like a new evil scumbag.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, a third is a bank heist they did. Well, not a bank heist, but a heist the crew did in 1988. And then
rules.
Another third is this new evil character guy.
All right. So
who ties everything together.
Okay, that rules. Mm-hmm. If you were going to cast a new young Neil McCauley for the 1988 heist,
this
would
is
it
sort
be?
Of the problem. I don't know how. He says he's going to make it into a movie, Sean. I don't know how he's going to do it. Because there's a lot of Pacino in this book, and no one can play that character. You get young Hannah and Heat Hannah, and God. I don't know who plays that other than the
they're
Pacino.
They're gonna end up casting Miles Teller, and it's gonna be terrible.
You've
got a great ass. He's got his head all the way up. But I don't know.
What I will say is, New Kilmer is easy because it's very clearly written for Hemsworth. It feels almost a completely different character to the point when he goes to visit Nate eventually. Nate goes, "You're like a different guy." And it feels like it's the guy from Black Hat
of the great movie characters of the decade.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Hemsworth's character in Black Hat, whose name I do not remember, may not have ever processed. I'm just like, yeah, it's Chris Hemsworth. He's a hacker. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see the director's cut of Black Hat, dude. Oh, so tight. Gonna be so tight.
All right.
Okay, this has been Michael Mann Corner.
Yeah. Anyway, everyone get Heat 2. You know it's good because Hideo Kojima has been tweeting about it constantly. You know who he is, Sean?
I don't. I was
he's the man who wrote Metal Gear Solid and Metal Gear Solid 2.
Oh. Well then.
All right. Sean, before we get to the news and our wonderful guest, Eve Sturgis.
Yes.
I wanted to play you something here.
Okay.
The NBA 2K released a video recently. I don't know if it was this week, but I saw it yesterday. And it's only a minute long. It's not the full video, but I just want to play you this video here real quick.
Okay, please.
This is Josh Giddey, introducing you to NBA 2K23's My Team Mode. This year, take more control than ever before on your journey to assembling your very own dream team of the greatest NBA superstars. Let's take a look at what's coming to my team this year. Seasons are returning in my team, with more ways to progress and earn incredible rewards in every game mode on your way to level 40 and beyond. And with new seasons every 6 weeks, my team is always staying fresh. With more ways for you to play and take control of your journey, let's hit the triple threat courts to see what's new. For the first time in my team, team up with your friends and your favorite cards in the brand new Triple Threat Online co-op. Squad up with your friends to take on AI opponents to rise up your individual reward ladders, or compete online to get great rewards as a team. You can even match up 3-on-3 in a party game for...
All right, that's all I gripped. So, Sean, my first question for you about this piece of audio I just played you. How did this happen? Like, how do you end up with Josh Giddey narrating this?
I don't know. I don't even know if he would be, like, the first Australian guy they asked. So you pick a guy from the Oklahoma City Thunder, but not... Maybe the third most famous guy on the Thunder?
Yeah, that seems right to me. It's Chet, then Shea, then Giddey. Yeah.
Yeah. But even, like, I would be like, well, I would probably... I mean, Ben Simmons is not going to do it, but that no one wants that. But that's weird. He seems like he would be pretty far down the sheet. Like, if you were just imagining that people had to, like, tape appearances for NBA 2K, he would have an early call. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He would be parking on the roof of the studio. He would not have preferred parking. You know what I mean? And nothing against Josh Giddey or anything, but like Cade Cunningham clearly said no. Like he's behind five different guys named Jalen on that call sheet when they...
Now, Sean, my second question for you is, what is your favorite line that you heard Josh Giddey say there?
Every time he said, like, was he saying triple threat?
He was saying triple threat.
Him saying triple threat was my favorite thing, and I didn't know what it meant.
Let's hit the triple threat courts to see what's new.
Yes. I don't know what that is at all, but him saying that, I'm like, I don't know, I'll check that out. I'll check out the triple threat court.
Because I'll tell you, this one is easy. The one where he has to say AI opponents and it's like all gobbledygook is my favorite one.
Squad up with your friends to take on AI opponents to rise up your individual reward ladders, or compete online to get great rewards as a team.
Because also, that copy is terrible.
It's terrible.
It's confusing. It's like...
Squad up with your friends to take on AI opponents to rise up your individual reward ladders.
To rise
or
up
compete
your
online to get great rewards as a team.
All the tenses are weird.
But you're rising up the ladder. You're teaming up. Like, it's just like something where, you know what it reminds me of? There was this trend in the 2000s and late 90s when you had an action movie that had some really insane premise. They would get, like, the best actor possible to deliver the line. So it's like, that's why Anna Deavere Smith is in Face Off, describing the Face Off procedure. Because they're like, well, she's got two Obie Awards for her one woman show. This is enough. And then later, the great film Deja Vu by Tony Scott also uses Adam Goldberg for this same premise. And he just does it like he's so sick of explaining it, this nonsensical time travel thing. And he's just like, that looks bad. Like, he just looks like he's so tired. Anyway, having a guy with a strong Australian accent do your gobbledygook is certainly a choice.
Well, I don't even think Josh Giddey's bad necessarily. You just can hear him struggling on that line. Yeah.
It's very difficult.
What about this one? Do you like this one?
My team is always staying fresh.
Yes. Also, because I don't totally understand it in the context of the video game, for one thing, but also... All it makes me think of is, like, air fresheners and shitty sandwiches from Subway. My team's always staying fresh. What?
I see. I think he's talking about Poku's fit.
My team is always staying fresh.
Oh, they look fresh. I was also like,
no,
oh,
I mean, that's not. No, it's about how the content changes every 6 weeks.
Oh, I actually, now that I think about it, it probably means that the organization is going to bench everyone for 25 games for no reason to tank.
Do you like this one? This like motivational speaker line
and take control of your journey.
Wow. I mean, that should be, I could see, actually, I would, can you imagine Josh Giddey, like, curls covering his face, just pointing on a cord, and that's the title of the hardcover book, Take Control of Your Journey by Josh Giddey with Mitch Albom.
And then this one's also pretty good.
This year, take more control than ever before on your journey to assembling your very own dream team of the greatest NBA superstars.
Which I think that one is actually about Sam Presti, right?
I was thinking that too. Yeah. That's his journey.
Well, anyway, basically what I'd like to do, Sean, the reason I sprung this on you is I'd like to introduce you to Roundball Rock's newest drop. I really hope the listeners like it because they're going to hear it a lot. And here it is.
This is Josh Giddey.
All right.
Yes. Get ready. It's really happening, everybody.
It's the new Hey, What's Up, Lakers fans. All right, Sean, do you want to go? Oh, wait. Actually, there's one more thing I did. I figured Josh Giddey, Oklahoma legend now in the making, right?
Oh, absolutely. This really helps, I think.
I figured I needed to mash him up with another true Oklahoma legend. And that's why I made this.
Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me! I'm a man! I'm
Josh Giddey.
Oh, wow. All right.
All right, Sean, let's go to the news.
This is Round Ball Rock News. Basketball news. For humans and robots. Trust the process.
All right, Sean, what's our first story?
Our first story is that Kevin Durant is staying with the Brooklyn Nets. He was the MVP of the summer. He helped a lot of people make content. We did not really talk about it that much.
No, we found it boring.
We were busy selling PS5s and reviewing videos. But yeah, and there was a certain point when he didn't get traded immediately where it really seemed like he was just going to stay. Like if he didn't get traded like in the first week, you know what I mean? Because things didn't really change. But people got mad. Patrick Beverley accused him of taking food out of his family's mouth. I think that's what their feud was about. But yeah, it's pretty boring. And all it did was alienate Jaylen Brown. That was the main effect of it.
Yep.
But honestly, it was not really about basketball. It was about a personal relationship between Kevin Durant and the Nets,
and Kyrie Irving and James Harden and Ben Simmons.
This isn't something that you need a basketball expert to talk about.
No, these people need therapy. And guess what we did, Sean? We brought in a marriage and family therapist to talk about it. Here's us talking with Eve Sturgis about how marriage and family therapist and host of the Everything's Relative podcast about how KD and Kyrie and Ben and James and Steve Nash and Sean Marks and Joe Tsai and Patty Mills and Nick Claxton and DeAndre Jordan, even though he's not there anymore, can heal. Garrett Temple.
We want these guys to have a good relationship and become a family again.
So here's that. We're here with marriage and family therapist Eve Sturgis, but most importantly, yes, she is a therapist, but more importantly, she's the host of a podcast of her own called Everything's Relative, which is about, Eve, would you like to explain it? Because it will take me 2 hours, and I bet you can do it in 2 sentences.
Sure thing, Joey. Everything's Relative explores the world of people who have surprise DNA test results as adults. And when I say surprise DNA results, I mean they find out that they were adopted and no one ever told them, or their dad is not their dad for various reasons, or they were donor conceived. All sorts of surprise variables pop up when people do those consumer DNA tests. So I want to talk about it. So that's what I do on my podcast.
And sometimes you find out that your dad was the Golden State Killer.
If that's true, go ahead. That's true for any of your listeners, please contact me.
Yeah.
I actually have a lead that I'll send you off air about some wild DNA. So not related to me specifically. All I would learn from a DNA test is probably that like my great grandparents were cousins or something like that. I think I have a feeling.
Okay, Sean, thank you for
You've met my dad, right, Joey? I don't think there's any dad.
Thank you for that incredibly vague, weird aside for our listeners. Sean, do you want to explain why we brought Eve, the marriage and family therapist, on though?
Yeah, because so Eve, I know you're not a regular NBA fan necessarily. You have a son who is a dunk enthusiast, but that doesn't really relate to track in the league. So there is a superstar player named Kevin Durant, former member of the Oklahoma City Thunder, former member of the Golden State Warriors. A couple of years ago, he and his friend Kyrie Irving were both free agents, and they decided to sign with the Brooklyn Nets. And it has been a messy 3 years so far. Mm-hmm. First, Durant and Kyrie were mostly hurt their first year. And then last year, there was a lot of drama. A guy named James Harden was on the team.
They brought in their other friend.
They expanded the relationship. They had kind of a throuple, I guess, situation. And then last year, Kyrie Irving refused to get vaccinated. And so he couldn't play in many games, including all of the games at home in Brooklyn. He didn't want to get a vaccine. There were some more injuries. And then their friend James Harden forced a trade out of town mid-season.
He was like, I've had it with these guys. This is too toxic.
Yeah. Meanwhile, and so in the interim, Kevin Durant signed a contract extension, which means he signed an agreement, made a bit of a marriage with the team for the next 4 years. It's kind of like a prenup. And then it sounded like Kyrie wanted to leave this offseason, but he kind of looked at the market and there weren't a lot of options. So he opted into his large contract for next year. Then back at the beginning of July.
You need to explain. There was a
let
point.
Me explain. Yeah, go ahead.
The Kyrie Irving part. So Kyrie Irving is in the last year of his contract, and the Nets, because of how he behaved last year over vaccinations, were refusing to extend him more. So then he half demanded a trade, leaving him, which would in turn have left his friend Kevin Durant. But then Kevin Durant got mad at the team, but not Kyrie Irving, and he demanded a trade.
Yeah, so basically Kyrie Irving had a player option for this year. He opted into that because he realized it's basically like he asked for an open relationship with the team and then realized he was not really attractive enough to make that happen. Also, Kyrie Irving believes the world is flat. His Instagram has a lot of maybe, you know, the eye that's on top of the pyramid on a dollar bill. I don't know what that's called. He's very into that and the symbology. I believe he's a vegan. Is he a vegan, Joey?
Yep.
And clearly, maybe they enjoy some recreational substances. Definitely marijuana. So what happened was Kyrie decided to stay. He sort of saw his options and he opted in for one more year in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And then Kevin Durant demanded a trade. And there was a lot of back and forth in the media. Kevin Durant likes to post a lot. He's a big tweeter. He's a big Instagrammer. Mm-hmm. Likes to just argue with strangers on the internet. He's pretty into that. And then at one point, he demanded that the team fire their general manager and their coach and the owner. The owner, who is a Chinese billionaire, said that he was going to back the team. He was not going to fire them. And then this week they had a meeting in Los mm-hmm. Angeles with the coach and the general manager and the owner and then Kevin Durant and his agent. And they agreed that they were going to go forward. They were going to maintain the relationship and stay together. Mm-hmm. So to me, this isn't so much of a basketball issue as it is a relationship issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I know we threw a lot of information there, but for the most part, it's like he demanded some changes. He asked out of the relationship. He didn't really receive the changes.
Well,
but then he decided to stay.
See, I actually have a theory behind this, which is I believe that Kevin Durant is only loyal to Kyrie Irving. And part of trying to get the two guys fired was trying to get the guys who weren't signing Kyrie Irving fired.
Well, I just want to get Eve's take on the whole situation before we throw more. I just don't want to throw more information at her yet. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds incredibly toxic. It would be, that would definitely be what we call a challenging opportunity for a therapist. I guess that my first question to Durant would really be a lot of questions about why he's staying. Mm-hmm. If I were his individual therapist, I'd really want to explore his expectations about staying. But if I was a couples therapist looking at the entire relationship, I would have to address the relationship as the client. So I would have to talk to everybody about what is best to make the relationship as a whole thrive. And so it'd probably be a lot of setting some ground rules and establishing boundaries.
Now, so would one of those boundaries have to do with discussing the relationship publicly to your millions of followers on the internet?
Mm-hmm. Yes, if it was a problem for the other people in the relationship. Mm-hmm. The other members of the relationship asked for that boundary. Yes. Sure. That would definitely be an appropriate thing to discuss. But now, it would be up to. Yeah.
As a marriage and family therapist, would you request they bring James Harden back for a meeting, even though he left to join another team, like Dave Mustaine had to do with Metallica in that documentary where some Metallica's kind of in there. Yeah.
If it felt like closure or some kind of conversation was really needed, if it felt like he was still, we would call him like symbolically present, if he was still a part of the relationship despite his physical absence, then yeah, absolutely, it might be appropriate to bring him back. Mm-hmm.
Can I tell you another thing that happened with the Nets with a new person that we have not mentioned? Okay, so they traded James Harden for this man named Ben Simmons.
Oh, I forgot about this.
Who was in an incredibly toxic relationship with the 76ers and the city of Philadelphia. Now.
Yeah, he had refused to even play.
Yeah.
He would not. We, he would
I'm
not,
not even going to get into what happened to him with the Sixers.
Okay.
But what I will get into is he was injured this year and they were in the playoffs. And apparently he'd been sort of playing. He'd been practicing, but not playing in any of the games. And they had a really important playoff game. And in the group chat, the players had, they asked Ben Simmons if he was going to play in this important game. And instead of answering, Ben Simmons just left the group chat.
Hmm.
How would you deal with that?
Yeah, I guess I would talk to Ben Simmons and the team about passive aggressive behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask him what he felt when they asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
And what his message was supposed to be by leaving the chat.
Mm-hmm.
And then I might talk to the entire team with Ben present about empathy and that maybe opening their hearts and their minds to how hard it is to be on a team when you're injured and can only play a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I would need them to tell me, but I imagine that he may have felt embarrassed or teased by that question.
Mm-hmm. Eve, have you ever left a group chat?
That's a really good question, Joey. I'm going to say no. I'm going to say I have never left a group
chat. Because Sean and I do it as a bit all the time.
Yeah. But
it's one of our favorite bits.
Seriously left a group chat, I don't think. But if I have, it's more like it didn't concern me. So I'm just sort of Irish exiting
That's
the
what
group
I'm thinking.
Chat. Yeah.
Yeah. Like Emma, I think probably women get this more, but I get targeted by like acquaintances on Facebook for like MLM type things. And sometimes those are big group threads. And so I'll leave those, but I can't say that I have ever left to make a statement of some kind.
I mean, the Brooklyn Nets are not dissimilar to a multi-level marketing scheme, to be honest. okay, so I had a question. So just focusing on Kevin Durant and the team, do you ever encounter situations where a friend outside the relationship becomes a toxic issue? Because I believe for the Nets, the primary relationship that they'd like to maintain is with Kevin Durant and the team. And Kyrie is more like a troublemaking friend who is sort of jeopardizing the primary.
He's like if Eddie Haskell just watched Loose Change.
Yeah, that's a good point. Like very smiley, very positive. But yeah, when they hired a coach, he very publicly talked about how anyone on the team was the coach.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes, I would say if the primary relationship was between the team and Durant, the toxic friend would definitely have to be discussed.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, the problem there for Kevin and Kyrie's point of view is Kyrie was there first and he's the reason Kevin came. So
they came at the same time.
No, they didn't.
They signed like the same day.
No, dude.
They were both free agents in 2019.
Well, yeah, no, but Kyrie's the one who recruited Kevin Durant to the Nets.
But I mean, they decided at the same time to go. They were both free agents.
But Kyrie was the one who chose the Nets. It was the Nets or the Knicks, and Kyrie chose the Nets.
I'm just saying they went at the same time.
Sure, but the way the story goes is Kyrie decided mid-season before, like mid that season. Everybody knows that.
Well, they had been talking about going to one of the New York teams, which would have been toxic in a different way because that owner is a white man who has a blues band and it's an opening for the Eagles when they play at Madison Square Garden.
Uh-huh. And his best friend was Harvey Weinstein. But we can't talk about that.
Yeah. That's too much of a sidetrack. That's also toxic. Do you ever experience situations where there's a breakup? There's essentially a breakup. And then at a certain point of time later, they decide to reunite. Is that, it, I mean, with that aspect of it, what do you have to do differently when it's some people who've decided to stay together after a minor breakup?
Oh yeah, that happens all the time. That happens all the time in my practice, in my experience. I would get them into regular couples counseling right away. I would, you know, really ask them to get really honest about what they want moving forward. I would, as far as doing things differently, I think, yeah, it's sort not dissimilar from what I was saying earlier. They would, there would just have to be a lot of really open, probably hard conversations about expectations and boundaries. And it probably individual therapy so that people could work on their own habits and patterns so they could help change, you know, change them together without expecting the other person to change, which is kind of a paradox, but possible. Mm-hmm. It would be really hard. It's really hard.
Now,
and some people, it feels like it's okay to say that some people really, depending on your interpretation, love or are addicted to drama and toxic relationships.
Yeah, that might be happening here.
That is definitely what's happening here.
Yeah.
they get a rush from the different kinds of ups and downs that happen.
Now, Eve, have you ever had a client? I know you can't talk specifically, but have you ever had a client use the phrase, "I'm a real hooper," when they're when you're talking to them? Because that's what would be happening here a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I never have. I've never had "I'm a real hooper" used. I've had lots of phrases used, and people do really like to self-identify. I would really want to explore what a real hooper means.
I think we all would, honestly.
The person saying it and the person hearing it. I'd like to, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there.
Well, apparently what this person means when they say they're a real hooper is that they attack people on Twitter with 37 followers basically all day, and then also try and get everyone fired at their job. And also seem like generally a pretty miserable person, whether they're playing hoops or not.
That's a real hooper, I guess. But
yeah. Yeah, real hooper. So somebody that's pretty aggressive, defensive. I'd want to talk to them about their identity as a basketball player, their identity as a man, you know, what their relationship is with the outer world and social media. And what, you know, what is the symbology of a hoop?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a big ring, actually. Do you ever encounter, do you think that social media has made things different as just a, as a therapist, because there's now this sort of element of parasocial relationships that go on as well that are sort of necessarily secret, because now there's all these avenues of basically like one-on-one communication like that? I mean, I guess you could always have had kind of clandestine meetings, but now it seems like it's very easy to maybe like talk online and, you know, just reach out and contact people. Yeah. Essentially, yeah, I think, tampering with your one, with your primary relationship.
Yeah, I guess I would just say, like, on all fronts, in all ways, social media has made everything more complicated. So.
Now.
Yeah. And more people take social media relationships, connections, friend, you know, whatever they are, friendships or followings. That's just taken a lot more seriously, more and more. And I,
Eve, there's another aspect of this net situation that we didn't bring up, which one of the guys Kevin Durant got fired is former two-time MVP Steve Nash, a man who never appeared to want to be a coach at any point, but only took the job because Kevin Durant told them to hire him. And now he's trying to fire him. Does that make... Would that make the relationship even more complicated? Or is it basically, are we sitting in the same chairs here?
I'm thinking that more and more what we would call, it's interesting. I'm going to start over. You could look at this two ways. We could look at this whole network of people as a family and to treat it like a family system. And in that case, we would definitely be looking at Kevin Durant as what we call the IP, identified patient, sort of the center of the problem. But we would, of course, acknowledge that everybody functions in relationship to everybody else. So while it seems like Kevin really is the troublemaker.
Well, what's interesting, not to cut you off, but to make a quick joke here, is oftentimes people will share videos of Kevin Durant's basketball highlights with the words, Kevin Durant is a problem. And then the emoji with the steam shooting out of its mouth. But in that case, they mean to guard. But this is a completely different problem.
Well, and think about if from a family perspective, you know, the problem child, it's, there's probably a lot of wants and needs. It's probably very hard to be that person. He's probably hurting a lot to be acting out so dramatically, and creating so many problems. So that's how we would address it as a, from a family system, from a relationship, perspective, from a you know, like a romantic lens, or an adult dynamic lens. I think it's more of the same. I think it's more of the same, and just another opportunity to ask Durant what he's getting out of this, these dynamics, and then also asking other people if they feel like they're contributing to it and what they get out of it.
So I remember in my limited experience with family therapy, the therapist had this theory that when
sick brag, bro,
I know, sick brag. it was all eating disorder related. Why am I bringing that up?
Yeah,
anyway, but they would say,
Sean feels vulnerable right now.
I know, I do feel vulnerable. I'm like, oh my God, I'm acting out. I'm going to demand a trade off this podcast. Got to go online and yell at someone. There was this theory that the therapist had that the other kids in the family, because there was one sibling that was just drawing so much of the attention because it was, you know, a difficult problem, that when that situation was resolved, there would be some reciprocal acting out from the remaining kids who had been. So my question is, would you be worried as a member of like the Brooklyn Nets executive group that if they were able to, you know, reform things with Kevin Durant, that maybe the center would start acting out, or perhaps the shooting
like
guard,
Patty Mills might start.
Patty Mills
start
be a problem?
Arsons?
Nick Claxton, Nick Claxton would start, you know, like a very aggressive TikTok account. I don't know how that would manifest, but
The only difference is that is that in Sean's family situation, they were talking about it within the framework of children, and the basketball team is ostensibly dealing with adults.
Well,
so
you do have to be a legal adult to be in the NBA, technically.
So,
but I mean, some of their second round picks are like 18
should
years
you,
old.
So would it be wise to expect some acting out behavior? Sure. Would it be disappointing? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, viewing this from a relationship standpoint, would you ever recommend to someone you're doing therapy on? Yeah, you do therapy on
people.
Therapy. Yeah, yeah.
You therapy the hell out of them.
Would you ever recommend to a couple or a relationship, hey, why don't you try a three-way, but then in this case it would be a trade. Get the two of them out of town to different teams as far away from each other as possible.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, a lot of the NBA.
I might use language like space. Mm-hmm. Everybody, you know, space. Mm-hmm.
Spacing
toxicity.
Is very important in the modern NBA.
Yeah, it's true.
Uh-huh. What do you? What is it that you want in your life, and how can we best manifest it? Mm-hmm. And what does that look like if people are in different places?
And I had one final question. It seems like both Kyrie and Durant in remaining in this relationship, there was a factor that they might have been wanting to go with other partners in an ideal situation and then kind of settled back. Do you feel like that's somewhat doomed, or is there a way to reset and?
Have you ever had someone in a relationship be like, I want to marry LeBron James now?
Yeah. And then LeBron ends it because he was like, this was a casual thing. We were just playing in a summer pro-am together. I didn't want to sign a long-term deal with you.
Uh-huh.
And then they had to return and, you know.
Well, actually, in this case.
Maybe their heart was a little broken by LeBron James.
LeBron was interested, but LeBron's team wasn't interested in being poly.
It seems like. Well, and LeBron James and Kyrie Irving used to be in a relationship mm-hmm. together, yeah. And Kyrie forced his way out of that. So, yeah. I mean, there's levels upon levels here. Is that a problem that you ever see? Is people trying to basically thinking the grass is greener, but then not being allowed on that lawn? And going back to their own lawn, basically. That was a bad metaphor. I'm sorry.
All the time. I see it all the time. That's not unusual at all. And I don't know that the relationships are necessarily doomed. I try and stay open-minded and mm-hmm. open-hearted about the evolution of relationships,
yeah.
And I cannot tell the future, and people go through all sorts of things together and get through all sorts of things together, and an equal amount of people decide they don't want to participate in that much work or evolution, mm-hmm. and that's fine too.
So like the city of New York, so like the city of New York, you remain neutral, just like the entire city is on the Brooklyn Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really pick a side.
A dispassionate observer. Yeah. You see, you observe, but you don't emotionally have any connection. Much like, I mean, the city of New York and really America with the Brooklyn Nets, I would say.
Now, one final question. Have you ever had a set of patients who feel like they're being watched by Ethan Hawke 24 hours a day because he is the only Brooklyn Nets fan? And do you think that is contributing to this? Is Ethan Hawke being around a problem here?
Yeah.
Wow. That case has never been brought to me mm-hmm. specifically.
So you haven't done therapy on the kid from Boyhood, is what you're saying. Okay.
Mm-mm. But sure, somebody's obsession or unrelenting presence mm-hmm. can be mm-hmm. exhausting for all sorts of reasons.
Especially if they're Ethan Hawke.
Especially if it's Ethan Hawke.
They're Ethan Hawke.
Take a shower, man. All right. Eve Sturgis is the host of Everything's Relative. Listen to it. It's amazing. Also, if you or a loved one feel like you need some help, get some help. There's tons of great resources out there to find. what you need. I'm talking to you, Kevin Durant. All right, I know you're listening. Eve, thanks so much for coming on. Where can our listeners find you online?
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You can find me evesturgis.la. You can find me on Instagram at Everything's Relative. You can check out my podcast, everythingsrelativepodcast.com. And that seems like enough context to get to me.
That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
All right. Thanks again to Eve Sturgis. We are back. And you know what that means? Back to the news, Sean. And you know what? I forgot to mention, we were talking about Kevin Durant. You know where he played?
Oh, right.
Yeah, he played in the Oklahoma City Thunder. So.
This is Josh Giddey.
All right.
It's important.
Sean, Udonis Haslam is back, but also there's rumors they're retiring his jersey. I don't understand this story.
Yeah, well, the NBA's oldest player has returned for his 37th season in Miami. We know him primarily as a dog breeder. That's his true passion. Mm-hmm. Then he's an unofficial coach on the sidelines.
He's an uncle. We talked about that last
week. He's an uncle.
Yeah.
He's Eric Spoelstra's enforcer / bodyguard. Mm-hmm. And then like down on the bottom of his interest is being a backup power forward.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's also a David Thorpe client.
Mm-hmm.
And now what this means is, with Andre Iguodala still unsigned, Udonis Haslam, he's now the oldest player, and it means that LeBron James is no longer the oldest active player in the NBA. I have one thing to say about that, Joey.
What?
Sheesh. And, I'm Joey, you can explain to the people how many emoticons I'm using right now.
So many.
Yeah.
You know what? I think that if, Udonis Haslam was going to say something to us, mm-hmm. he'd probably say this.
Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me! I'm a man! I'm
Josh Giddey.
Wow. All right. It's weird he'd say he was Josh Giddey, but...
He's actually older than Mike Gundy when he made that rant. Pretty amazing. Okay, so the next one is a bit of a sad one. It comes from Oklahoma City.
Uh-oh.
My team is always staying fresh.
Oh, unfortunately that's not true, Josh Giddey.
Chet Holmgren is not staying fresh. He the number 2 pick in the draft is out for the year with a Lisfranc injury. Basically, I looked this up on some very reputable websites called Wikipedia. Basically, it's when the bottom of the place where your second and third toes meet the rest of the foot bones get injured or broken. Mm-hmm. It is named after a doctor who treated a guy who got shot off his horse in the Napoleonic Wars by cutting off his diseased foot at that point. Cool. So
they're removing Chet's foot?
They're removing Chet's foot. It should be about a 9-month injury, 9-month recovery. Joey, people said before this draft that Chet Holmgren could be the white Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
Did that curse him?
I mean, no, because it didn't really curse Kevin Durant, but Kevin Durant did have a foot injury very early.
He had a Jones fracture.
I think for once the mixtapers were right.
Yeah. A Jones fracture, by the way, is that happens. It's basically that same injury, but at the pinky toe.
Oh, I thought that was when the Counting Crows step on your foot.
Yeah. Josh, la, 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 la. Yeah,
really doing a lot of new references this episode. I got the Kevin Crows. I got an Eddie Haskell in. What the fuck is going on? All right.
Anyway, that Jones fracture is a doctor named Jones who did break his foot, but it was mm-hmm. dancing and he did not cut his toe off. Didn't cut his toe.
Wait, he was dancing?
He heard himself dancing. Yes.
Oh, well,
in like 1901.
Oh, well,
let's take a look at what's coming to my team this year.
Not Chet Holmgren. All right.
We did have a big, big trade, though.
Oh, we did?
Mm-hmm.
Trades. That's right. We're talking about trades.
/ Capspace URLs. You remember we talk about Capspace all the time in the program. / Capspace. Let them know that you came from us. Limited time only. Terms apply.
Protected picks.
You can even create a beautiful website while listening to this podcast. Over 140 million people choose Wix to create their website. Create yours today. That's wix.com/woj, W-O-J, to get 10% off.
Rights to euros that are never coming.
Enter code NBA at checkout for $20 off your first order.
Expiring salaries.
If you missed it, we launched the Recapables Billions podcast on our Recapables feed.
Treating people like their assets and not people.
ZipRecruiter.com/lowpost, L-O-W-E post. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Even robots know that basketball is a business, so players shouldn't have feelings because of business. Trades.
All right, Sean, what happened? Who got traded?
Well, the Los Angeles Lakers traded two of their franchise cornerstones, Stanley Johnson and Talen Horton Tucker, previously untouchable in trade
talks. THT, but he's the future.
He was the future, man. Traded him to the Utah Jazz for Patrick Beverley.
Oh, my God.
The Woody Woodpecker of the NBA.
Sean, question for you before we get any more of this. Are the Lakers just trying to get Russ to, like, take a buyout?
Bringing
the guy he hates the most?
He hates him the most. So in just for some history, in 2013, this was the Thunder had just had traded James Harden the previous summer. They drew the Rockets in the first round. I think they were the top seed. And in I think the second game of the series, the Rockets started Patrick Beverley in his first NBA start. And very early in the game, he was sort of harassing Russell Westbrook as he was making the pretty common move of just dribbling across half court and calling a timeout.
Uh-huh.
And Patrick
and
Beverley
everyone knew it was going to be a timeout.
Everybody knew it was going to be a timeout. Patrick Beverley, in his typical manic fashion, crashed into him. Westbrook hurt his knee. He was out for the remainder of the playoffs.
It was dirty. That was insanely dirty. Yeah.
I mean, it was dirty, but I feel like it was more like clumsy. You know what I mean? Like it was an insane play to make. Don't get me wrong. And like very reckless. But to me, it was sort of more like, oh, Patrick Beverley can't control his own body. And he's just so full of rage or whatever. But yeah. He blew up his knee for no reason.
Yeah.
So, yes. And also, Russell Westbrook is the one who gave the second funniest quote ever about Patrick Beverley, which is Pat Bev trick y'all, man. He's just running around doing nothing. The funniest one, of course, is when Pat Beverley yelled to Steph Curry, the next 5 years are mine. And Pat and Curry said, aren't you 30?
No, it was 34.
He's 34.
32.
Now.
Sorry, 32. It was, aren't you 32? Okay.
So I'm going to say, well, first, I have a question.
Yeah.
Joey, Talen Horton Tucker last year was the Lakers gave him a 3-year contract because he was a second round pick. He became eligible. They gave him a 3-year deal for $30 million. They chose him over Alex Caruso. They wouldn't include him in, potential trades like for hypothetically DeMar DeRozan. Now this is almost like a salary dump. Is Talen Horton Tucker the Taylor Kitsch of the NBA?
Okay, this is a very good question.
Now
for
Taylor Kitsch,
don't know. Yeah. Taylor Kitsch is of course Tim Riggins on the wonderful show Friday Night Lights. He went on to play John Carter from Mars.
And the lead in Battleship.
Well, I was in the same summer. Also, sorry. He played John Carter from the ocean in Battleship.
Sorry, I stepped on that one.
He also played John Carter from True Detective season 3. Drunk guy John Carter from Drunk Guy on a Motorcycle. That's not the only thing I remembered. Well, he was gay on that show, I believe.
Wait, what show are we talking
True
about?
True Detective season 3.
Oh, I think he's on season 2.
Season 2, I mean, season 2. Yeah.
Yeah, all I think of is Colin Farrell going nuts.
Yeah, and that's the best part.
And Rachel Adams getting roofied at a weird sex. Oh, what an underrated crazy series
Vince
of television.
Vaughn staring
so
at a spot
unlikable.
On a ceiling.
So unlikable. The least likable performance of Vince Vaughn's career. And Taylor Kitsch.
He also played John Carter from Waco in the David Koresh movie.
Oh, right. He's having a comeback. He's also John Carter, the weed enforcer in Oliver Stone's Savages.
He also
alongside
plays
Ali Wong.
He also plays John Carter from the CIA on The Terminal List currently.
Oh my
on
god.
Amazon.
Well, maybe I'm selling Taylor Kitsch a little short.
Well, that's
here.
What I'm going to tell you right now. No, Taylor Herton Tucker cannot be Taylor Kitsch because Taylor Kitsch was the star of Friday Night Lights. As far as the young people went on a show that had Michael B. Jordan, Taylor Kitsch was still the star, Sean.
I mean, to me, this just the thing about Taylor Kitsch that I think is most defining, though, is that John Carter and Battleship came out like 3 weeks apart.
Yes.
It just seems like. An LA team bet very big on him and then had a disastrous summer.
But there's another guy who I think Taylor Kitsch is. I mean, not okay. Taylor Horton Tucker is.
Okay.
And that is Hayden Christensen.
Ooh. Oh, boy. Now, I have to say, I was not that familiar with Taylor Horton Tucker when he had potential and when apparently he was the worst player in NBA history last year. Is the truth somewhere in the middle there, or did he just?
Yes.
I don't understand why I don't understand either extreme. I guess that's answering my own question.
Well, I have a theory. I think Taylor Horton Tucker was a very nice second round pick, like a guy with like Trevor Ariza potential, and that's at like ceiling, right? Because Trevor Ariza was like really, really good at one point.
But it took him a while to get there too.
Yes,
he was also a very young rookie in the NBA, much like Taylor Horton.
And he had a pretty decent showing in the bubble on the championship team and was also 17 or whatever.
Yeah.
And
they got an exception. LeBron actually had to legally adopt him for him to be in the NBA.
But like,
and now he has legally disowned him.
That's the bet. Like, I know it hurts now that they like with hindsight where it's like, yeah, they should have kept Caruso, obviously. But like,
right.
If you can keep one of those guys, like the 19-year-old who was like wing sized versus the guy who was like in the G League and looks like the puppet, the angry old man puppet Jeff Dunham has. You're picking the young guy.
The other thing is that.
But also.
Go ahead. Sorry.
They shouldn't have even been in that situation. Because this is like, just sign your second round picks to the maximum length of a deal.
Yeah, they could have given him. He only had a 1 year deal.
Yes, so, that's what I'm saying. They cheaped out on their second round.
Oh no, they had
round.
A two. He had a
it was two.
Deal.
It was
sorry,
two because two's the shortest.
Yeah. Sorry.
But they cheaped out because they're fucking cheap on the cheapest possible contract.
Mm-hmm.
And it fucked them. And watch, he's going to go to the Jazz and be fine.
Yeah, well, I mean, the thing about Talen Horton-Tucker is last year was apparently this huge disappointment, and basically he was just worse at finishing. Mm-hmm. He was a pretty bad three-point shooter, but guess what? Guess how he shot from three before that?
Pretty bad.
So
I mean, I think the thing that made Lakers fans upset about him is there seemed to be some. Wait, Pat Riley probably has the disease of me copyrighted, right? Like three-peat, so and foursomed, or whatever it is.
Four so word is that, the one, yeah, actually. Yeah. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah. So, like, the disease, we'll say the disease of T going on with him, of THT, where it sort of seemed like he wasn't working that hard and didn't get better at anything.
No, he certainly did not get better at anything. But also, do you think there was maybe a reason that he got a little more defensive attention this year?
Well, yes.
I mean, it was. It's like the offense was pretty bad when LeBron was not just like going through people and scoring. So I don't know. Anyway, this is very important for the Lakers, especially because they were lacking a little bit of age this year. So, and that's not a Laker team. They've added 34-year-old Patrick Beverley. Talen Horton-Tucker is 21. Stanley Johnson is only 26. That has upped the average quite a bit. And so well,
I actually want to talk about Stanley Johnson for a second. I feel really bad for Stanley Johnson actually. Because the Lakers fans were so stoked on Stanley Johnson last year, because he was like the only non-depressing guy for like the last 3 months of the season. And it felt like they found this free young rotation player. And they immediately traded him for a man who slaps the floor.
The greatest celebrator of a play-in win in NBA history. Stanley Johnson last year averaged 6.7 points a game. He shot 31% from three, but yet he was probably the biggest, the brightest ray of light. He started 27 games for the Lakers. Wasn't even on the team for a while.
He was not Dwight Howard.
He was not Dwight Howard. He wasn't Avery Bradley. you know, I mean, when you get per 36, that's 10.5 points a game, baby.
And it felt like poor Stanley Johnson had finally found a home. He's been
he'd been on three other teams before. It kind of seemed like he could have found a home in Toronto, but this is the first time where Stanley Johnson has been on an NBA court and been
were
like
excited about it.
Well, and you know, he's always it's easily the top offensive season he had in terms of offensive rating. His it's also his worst defensive rating, but it's the first time that those numbers have been equal and that there's not a large disparity. So, you know, also he'll be 26 years old this season. It's possible that there's like, I don't think Stanley Johnson is ever going to achieve his very starry potential, especially I believe he was a high school player in Los Angeles, which probably adds to his hype a little bit. But I got to say, Stanley Johnson has proven himself as a NBA 10th man. So Patrick Beverley's coming. Who's the other rumored guard they're going to acquire, Joey?
I don't know.
Dennis Schroeder.
Oh, right. Dennis. Sorry. They're re-signing
Schroeder,
Dennis
baby.
Schroeder, yeah. Man.
So. Oh, also. Joey, one more thing about Patrick Beverley. I forgot that got announced today. He has a new podcast on Barstool Sports.
Yeah. Yep. Of course.
So.
Yeah. I mean, he is sort of like the NBA's Pat McAfee. So it makes sense to me. All right.
Okay. So basically for the Lakers, what they're doing is. You know, it possible Patrick Beverley helps more, but they're really I think the purpose of this move is primarily to like both make it look like they did stuff and to get rid of to get more cap space next summer.
and Patrick Beverley's contract expires, blah, blah, blah.
I don't want
and maybe and maybe provoking that buyout.
I
right?
don't want it. No, this is look.
It's a bummer. It's a bummer.
Rob Pelinka sucks, man.
Well, the other thing is he could have just had Caruso. Like he just, you know what I mean? Like just instead of telling Alex Caruso that because of the luxury tax, it was like they were giving him more money. Mm-hmm. They could have just actually given him the money.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's a big question.
Yeah.
Does Patrick Beverley get a mural?
Obviously, yes, because Juan Toscano and no, and actually, no, no, he's not going to get a mural. But Juan Toscano Anderson hasn't even played a game as a Laker yet, and he has a mural, Sean.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That it, is what, the.
Have you seen that mural?
No, it's inside somewhere.
Oh, you have. I
mean, I've seen photos of it.
Okay,
yeah,
I didn't
yeah,
mean.
Yeah.
I didn't
thought
mean
you meant in person. Yeah.
So he's wearing the Mexican flag mm-hmm. draped across. It's like, it's basically like Los Angeles skyline on one side.
Yeah.
And then, apparently it's a really big, apparently it's a really big mural. Yeah. And, he's wearing the Mexican flag. His jersey says Los Lakers. There's purple mountains behind him. Mm-hmm. And then it kind of looks like there's a pyramid on one side.
Yeah, it's the Mayan pyramids in Mexico.
Sure. Oh, gotcha. Okay.
It's half LA skyline, half Mexico. Half
Mexico.
Skyline.
Yeah.
Because he's the first Mexican American player to win a championship.
Yeah.
And to also play for the Lakers. I don't think Eduardo Nájera played for the Lakers.
He did not. There just have not been a lot of Mexican players. Anyway, congratulations. It's a cool looking mural.
Yeah, but it's fucking stolen valor.
Yeah, it is.
It's just like the many Tupac murals strewn across Los Angeles.
Yeah,
that man is from Oakland. Just same as, well, Tupac's not from Oakland, but, you know, he's from Marin City. Anyway, Sean, what murals do you think they have in Oklahoma City?
Ooh, that's a good question. So I'm going to say there's a Wayne Coyne mural, mm-hmm. of course. Aubrey McClendon in heaven, and he's surrounded by like a fracking well and a speeding car. And then the speeding car is crashing into a federal agent who's mm-hmm. going to arrest him for fixing prices in the natural mm-hmm. gas market.
And also him and Timothy McVeigh. Right?
Him and Timothy McVeigh
are both getting
it's like that meme of the hands grabbing. Mm-hmm. That's him and that's him.
Yeah,
and
justice.
Justice. Yeah, yeah.
I think it's just this.
Are you kidding me? Where are we at in society today? Come after me. I'm a man. I'm
Josh Giddey.
All right.
That's a good point. Good point.
Sean, you want to do this last story about Dwayne Wade? We can talk about Dennis Rodman and Shaq later.
Okay, that sounds good. Look, we'll wait till
those
Rodman,
are forever stories.
Rodman gets his. Okay. Dwayne Wade is a notorious water waster with the entire state of California in a severe drought. He and his spouse, Gabriel Union. Of Miss Congeniality and UCLA Basketball and Bad Boys 3? Bad Boys 3.
It's two.
Oh, right. Yeah. Bad Boys 3 is... Oh, God.
And you're forgetting the most important one. Bring it on, baby.
Bring it on. Yeah. anyway, they exceeded their water use limit by 489,000 gallons.
Gallons in one move.
Other big time water wasters are the NBA adjacent Kim Kardashian and the NBA adjacent Kevin Hart. Mm-hmm. Sylvester Stallone, also a big water waster, kind of the opposite of the NBA, I would say. Mm-hmm. Sylvester Stallone, right? I can't imagine him
at a basketball game.
Hey, I'm just really excited to see how Scotty Barnes does against this matchup with the Cavaliers. And he's wearing mm-hmm. his fake glasses the whole time.
Yeah.
What do you think Dwayne Wade is doing with all that extra water?
He's filling those cubes, dude.
He's filling the cube. Oh, I think it's all like banana boat training. He's like, he's just got banana boats everywhere. He's floating them. Mm-hmm. He's making sure they're watertight. He's just making sure there's no leaks, because remember that time that Melo almost drowned, mm-hmm. and LeBron had to save his life.
Yeah.
Dwayne's,
you
like,
mean that lie they told? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That did not happen. And he just has a giant, the thing is, he has a giant pond because now he's just raising sea bass, mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah, no, I think he's...
LeBron made him eat.
I think he's filling cubes to send to Salt Lake City once the water wars begin.
Oh, okay. And yeah. Is the cube still sassy?
Yeah, no, he's removed the AI from the cube and now it's just a vessel.
Okay, thank God. That cube was not cool.
Yeah. He's got multiple of them, though. Several cubes.
That's true. He did. Then they're all full of water and he rinses them out a couple times a day. Just
Sean,
to feel something.
Question for you. Which member of the Oklahoma City Thunder do you think wastes the most water?
Ooh, I think it's Dort. He's so controlled everywhere else in this life. That's the only thing. Sometimes he just turns the water on and just watches it go down the drain and like zones out.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Who do you think it is? Oh, you know who I think it is, actually? And I'm so sorry to do this to you. And the listeners, I think it's the recently re-signed big man, Mike Muscala.
That's who I was going to say, and I've just been sitting here staring at the board, trying to find the drop. I can't find it for some reason.
You know what? That might be a blessing to
there's
the
some reason. For some reason, this is the one I can never find, and we use it so much.
I can't believe we use it as much as we do, yeah, but we certainly do.
Call me Mike Jaws of the best kept secret. Coming from Atlanta where the Hawks stay screeching. I got 3 goals and I ain't talking about a hat trick. 1, win the championship. 2, make a smash it. 3, have a baby with my lady, then some grandkids. Hold on. These other rappers.
All right, hold on. I want to do something here.
Okay.
Hold on. Wait. Give me a second. Okay. All right. Can I play these at the same time?
Oh my God, mashup time.
Call me Mike Jaws of the best.
Oh, it didn't work as well as I wanted it to come in one, because there's such a long beat.
Yeah.
He says,
call me.
This is Josh Giddy.
But it's too long. Anyway.
I'm sorry. Now, do you think.
But I Mike actually Muscala. Think the answer is.
This is Josh Giddy.
Yeah.
Because he's got to wash that hair like several times a day, sure. Dog.
I also think that Mike Muscala might need to go to couples counseling with the beat. Because mm-hmm. they're not aligned right now.
But also, I mean, come on. This to me is a hint that they're using up all the water.
My team is always staying fresh.
All right. All right, next week I promise there will be less Josh Giddy drops, but still probably.
I mean, you never know.
A fair amount of Josh Giddy drops. Sean, I think that's our episode. Is there anything you would like to plug?
Yeah, if you're in Elk Grove, Sacramento, I'm doing Comedy Under the Stars on Friday, September 16th.
Nice. Listen to Everything's Relative. Eve Sturgis's podcast, Buy Heat 2, if you want to have a good old time. And then, as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter, where, at Frankie Muniz, where I'm in the wrong email. Where on? June 12, 2014, I tweeted, just cracked my phone screen and I didn't even drop it. Bent down in skinny jeans. Kill me.
Oof. Whew.
Sean, did you write a song?
You know, I didn't, but I'd like to bring back one that I kind of enjoyed. That's about our friend Lugans Dort. And it's called This Is My Last Lou Dort.
Wait, before we play that, we need to talk about something that we did not talk about real quick about that Laker trade. Sorry, this just reminded me. Sean, did you see what Mark Spears said the Lakers were doing yesterday?
Oh, yeah, yeah, they delayed that transaction because 824
is Kobe Bryant
is day. Kobe Bryant day, because those are two of his numbers, much like the 4th of May is now Star Wars Day, because people said May the 4th be with you.
Yeah.
And I believe that May 1st is NSYNC Day, because people on the internet kept saying it's going to be May.
Yeah. We live in hell, dog.
Why are the world is being run by memes? And it's possible that we just need to get on board. But it makes me sad. I would say that
they didn't announce that trade to honor Kobe Bryant.
Yeah, trading a young player away. Oh, yeah. Kobe would have hated that.
Yeah, Kobe.
Acquiring a veteran who yells at people. Oh, Kobe hates that. You know what Kobe hated? Transactions on his day. Yeah. Kobe Bryant would never demand a trade or demand a teammate get traded. Yeah. I mean, do the Lakers. Will they do transactions on 9/11? Like, I don't know. What about, like, they play on Christmas every year. That's a bigger day for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's not like it's Kobe's birthday or his death day. So now we have three Kobe days every year. And maybe that's not enough. I don't know.
Can you look up transactions by day?
You can do it by GM, actually.
Because we should look up on... Wait, yeah, I think I can. Hold on. All right. NBA historical NBA transactions on 9/11.
Oh, wow. You can do it by date.
Yeah. Okay, so on September 11th, 2002... No one moved on 2001, but on 2002, the Pistons traded Brian Cardinal, Jerry Stackhouse, and Rotko Varda to the Wizards for Hubert Davis, Rip Hamilton, and Bobby Simmons.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, that trade fucked Kobe, I'll tell you that much.
Mitch Kupchak has never made a transaction on any September 11th.
Yeah, I'm looking at all the transactions on 9/11. Not a lot of big ever. Ones. That's the only big one post 9/11.
Okay. Any pre 9/11 ones? Because maybe they knew something. You know what I mean?
The Golden State Warriors traded Wayne Cooper and a 1981 second round draft pick, which became Ken Green, to the Jazz for Bernard King. That's a pretty good trade.
Wow. Boy, they had some inside information. Do you think that trade was an inside job?
Sure.
Al Attles, man. Look, man, the Al Attles book would rule so hard. I don't think it's ever going to get written, but... Yeah. The shortest guy in the league who was also the toughest fighter. Right, baby. Wilt Chamberlain's enforcer, who was a full foot shorter than him. Hell yeah.
Anyway, on September 11th, 2009, weirdly, the Knicks have made a lot of moves on 9/11, ooh, Sean.
Okay.
All right. September 11th, 2006, the Knicks waived Ime Udoka.
Wow.
9/11, 2009, the Knicks signed Gabe Pruitt. 9/11, 2012, the Knicks signed Klay Thompson's brother, Michael. 9/11, 2013, the Knicks signed Chris Smith. 9/11, 2013, the Knicks signed Ture Murray. Those are all your Knicks moves on 9/11. I will say on 9/11, 2015, the Minnesota Timberwolves did hire Sam Mitchell as head coach.
Oh, that's pretty good.
So yeah, those are your
9/11 transactions.
This is a good remember a guy one. 9/11 2006, the Charlotte Bobcats signed Walter Hermann as a free agent. Everybody remembers Walter Hermann.
I believe he's
Brazilian.
He looked
like Jesus.
He's Brazilian, yeah.
Yeah, he looked like Jesus, sometimes when he had a beard, other times he did not have a beard, shot a lot of threes, was really good in an early 2K. All right, I brought up 2K, got to do it one more time.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's hit the triple threat courts to see what's new.
All right. here's the Lou Dort song. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
Shut it down. I really derailed this podcast by looking up transactions on 9/11.
Thunder don't have the pieces. This is my last Lou Dort. Keeps fouling on the three ball. Only way he scores 20 points is in skee ball. This is my last Lou Dort. Ferguson is in deep shit. I return last Lou Dort. Can't trust Darius Baisley. Can't make an outside shot. He dribbles so crazily. Do you even care if Adams goes crazy? Would it be wrong? Would it be right? If he had the green light, can't force James Harden right. Dennis Schroeder's playing tight. Chris Paul's contemplating homicide. Cause he can't guard his man, woman in fly. Why do the Thunder always have this guy? Can't guard his man, woman in fly. Why do the Thunder always have this guy? I never realized that the bench was thin till the trade deadline. Did Presti want to win? Take in Rich in the playoffs and draw in Houston. Steven Adams moves like a mannequin. It got ugly when Chris started punching. Hates the Rockets and Daily Bubba Gump's luncheon. Eric Gordon's thinking up like my butt crack. Schroeder saw the PJ's nutsack. Diallo can't shoot, Roberson disappeared. Why they start Thunder ahead of the beard? Diallo can't shoot, Roberson disappeared. Why they start Thunder ahead of the beard? SGA got shafted. Lou went undrafted. He's running and he's flying. This way. The Thunder don't have the pieces. This is my last Lou Dort. In the bubble, cause Arona didn't impress scouts at Arizona. Wouldn't it be cool to play LeBron? Would he punch him in the dong? I don't know, he's so strong. Breaking jumpers all day long. Billy Donovan's horrified. Cause he can't guard his man, woman in fly. Why do the Thunder always have this guy? Can't guard his man, woman in fly. Why do the Thunder always have this guy? They dive, no dev. Lou Dort's on ball. Ferguson can't explain it all. He can't go out.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi,
This is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.